Katie George here for Coil Automotive in Clarksville. Coil's Black Friday sales event is going on now. Save thousands on over 400 new Chevrolets, Buicks, and GMCs in stock and in one convenient location. Plus, on Friday, November 27th, you will have the chance to buy a 2015 Chevy Impala for $5. Yes, $5. Head over to coildeals.com for all the details and find your next car, truck, or SUV today. Coil, where the flag is flying and Kentuckian is buying.
Come on!
Must register for a chance to purchase Impala.
Pay off your holiday bills with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and earn $14.50 per hour to start, plus a $200 sign-on bonus and up to $1,200 in additional bonuses over the holiday season. Be a part of an industry-leading organization that believes in promoting from within. Enjoy an active job with big-time growth opportunities. Become a warehouse worker at UPS. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/worldport. That's upsjobs.com/worldport.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
And I need to bend the knee.
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
So right. I'm not even giving you 20 minutes, okay?
And James Strebel.
They go and they color and they play and they frolic in the yard. And
on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I'm very comfortable with the side effects that I experienced, and it was very tolerable for me.
ESPN 680 1057. Fun show thus far. The conversation of Jason Ennis and James Strebel, the truth is coming out, so we'll get to that. Strebel does not want Ennis at his house. That is coming out. This stupid 17 kills on Call of Duty is something that I've been absolutely crushed on the text line. We can get to that.
Wow.
All the college basketball stuff. Appreciate David Cobb joining us in hour number one. The podcast will be up directly following the show. The Podcast Center, ESPNLouisville.com. Tune in many different places, wherever you find your podcasts, iTunes, everything else, we'll have you set up with that, including our conversation with Mike DeCourcy every Tuesday at 5 o'clock at TSN. Mike, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Hello, Mr. Sweeney. How are you?
Oh, we're fine. Can I be honest with you, Mike?
Sure.
We're worried about college basketball, and I don't want to ask you the question of, are you more worried than a week ago when we had our conversation?
Go ahead and ask.
Oh, well, are you more worried? I don't know.
No.
Okay, well, there we go. I knew that was going to be the answer. Well, tell us why.
Because we knew that it was going to be a challenge, but the idea that it's not going to happen because there are challenges is preposterous. By the end of this weekend, by the time we get to Monday morning and everybody's tallying up the NFL scores, roughly 300 Division I teams will almost certainly have played at least one game, and probably multiple games for the majority of them. There will be lots that haven't played because of COVID testing and contact tracing and that sort of thing. But there will be plenty that play. And I think that the pessimism seems to sell. It seems to get attention. And it's certainly some of the things that I've seen online today, it's been ratcheted up about as high as it can be. But
and that's why I ask you, because I figured you'd have the other side. Sorry to interrupt, but it does feel like since we last had our conversation last week that this narrative, it was a little bit of a story last week, and it feels like in the last 7 days it's picked up quite a bit. It really does.
But by whom? Who is telling you this?
Gas bags. Yeah,
people who have an established agenda against college basketball, and believe me, I don't use that agenda term lightly, but there are certainly people who are engaging in this conversation who fit that description. I know one very well who has been engaging in this, Rick Pitino, who I don't take my advice from Rick Pitino. I just don't.
Neither does the NCAA.
I just don't. I would much rather listen to Danny Gavitt than to Rick Pitino. To me, there's no question which one I'm following. I know which one has the broader picture and more information.
You called him Danny. I like that, by the way. I noticed
I've known him for a long time.
Well, I figured you had. That's like when John Calipari called Tom Crean Tommy. Well, me and Tommy will eventually play. I didn't know if he was just being sarcastic or he knew Tom Crean for decades. Right?
Oh no, they've known each other for quite a while. Absolutely. When at the 2008 Final Four, when I sat in on the Saturday night film session for Kentucky, Tom was there for a little while as well. He made an appearance at that, so they have known each other for quite a while.
Mike DeCourcy with us here on ESPN 680 105.7. You can find him at the Sporting News, sportingnews.com. They got he has his preseason top 25. We'll dive in to some of that here in just a second. He's also the bracket guru there at Fox Sports, Big Ten Network. You can find him many, many places. Two odd questions. One that I find to be odd. This kind of worried me with college basketball. And you mentioned people that root against are anti-college basketball or whatever, maybe trying to define narratives. I felt like it's been bad luck for I'm gonna talk here like Jason Anderson, so this might take a minute, okay? if you don't mind, okay? But it won't be about Johnny Jones, I promise. Like, football, we had people that politically took advantage of it. We had parents get involved. Like, there was a movement that we need to stop the spread, at least a virus, it felt like, for me, to protect football at all costs, college football and the NFL. And my biggest worry off the court is that the NCAA is going to be making decisions here, and that people, not until March, overly, you know, have the yearning for college basketball, so there won't be this nation fighting to make sure that we're, you know, that we're doing this right and that we're playing these games and college basketball is going on. I will, you will, the state of North Carolina, Kentucky, Indiana, and others. I don't know. That might be a stupid question, but we wanted to play football so bad, and now college basketball last year and college basketball this year, it's the first time a sport's been hit twice, and it feels like it's getting a little bit worse, and we didn't have that at the beginning of the college football season.
Well, I think the first thing to remember is, how does this get done? It's not a national deal. The NCAA opens the door, says, okay, you can do this, 27 games. You can start on November 25th. We'd like you to play 4 non-conference games if we can pull it off. This is the framework. Now it's your job to try to figure out how to do it. So how do you do it? You do it locally. The idea that all politics are local, well, all college basketball is certainly local until you get to March. Even to the extent that people talk about people don't talk about college basketball on the big national shows and all that sort of thing, because it's a sport that, because of its vast canvas, it's harder for those big national hosts to get a handle on it until March. And so they ignore it, and they say, oh, it doesn't really matter to March. And meanwhile, you're in the trenches. You live in Kentucky. You know it matters. The guys I talk to in Kansas City every week, it matters a heck of a lot out there. It matters in North Carolina. It matters a little bit less in certain places. But they will either get it done or they won't. But Kentucky is going to get it done because it matters. And Kansas is going to get it done because it matters, which isn't to say that either or both of those won't have issues along the way that cause them to have to delay a game or confront others' issues in the way that teams that scheduled Gardner Webb are right now. I keep seeing, I see the funniest announcements. You know, Arkansas cancels a game. You know, they became the latest team to cancel a game. And I'm like, oh, because of positive COVID tests. And I'm like, oh, that's too bad. And then I see they were supposed to play Gardner Webb. Well, I already know Gardner Webb's got problems. It's not really necessarily an Arkansas problem right now. It's a Gardner Webb problem. And so it's how you present this matters. You're not really conveying fair information if you do it that way. Gardner Webb is out, so that affects Arkansas and Duke, but it's not really Arkansas's or Duke's issue. It just affects them because now they can't play the game. So I think that you'll see over time those teams, they'll work and they'll get it done. And what no one except me and Danny are talking about is the fact that today, basically every college campus in America is clearing out,
yep.
and they're giving
yep.
you the closest thing you will find to a bubble. That it's not that it's not that you'll be impervious if you're a college basketball player at Louisville or Duke or Carolina or Florida or wherever, but you'll have a lot less company. And company, as we've heard from the CDC this week, relative to Thanksgiving, company is a problem.
Louisville's in a hotel. Louisville's in the Gold House for like 10 days for their MTE.
Yeah.
And when they get out of that and they move on to whatever the next portion of their schedule is, there will be, 15, 18,000 fewer students around? And which isn't to say they won't ever have a problem, or they might, they might not have some sort of accidental contact with somebody pumping gas or whatever, and who knows. But it certainly lessens the chance, and that's the people who are attacking college basketball right now are not paying any attention to that. And I will tell you what else is interesting in all this is that Big Ten Network has shown, I don't know, maybe a dozen hockey games so far this year. You see anybody pounding on college hockey to shut down? No. Why?
Because
it just doesn't matter as much, so it doesn't make as big a story if you tell them to go shut down.
Yeah, I mean that and it's also that was my point, is there was a national movement to make sure that whatever happened, our sacred football played, right?
At the same time there was the national movement that attacked football for playing, those that did play at the start. There was certainly plenty of criticism, and when you started to have an issue in this program or that program, the whole shut it down chorus began there. It's happened to every sport that's tried to play outside of a bubble. NFL found it with the Titans the week they were supposed to play the Steelers. The shut it down chorus began when the Titans had to miss a game. Major League Soccer's had that when they went back to playing in home stadiums after they had their bubble tournament. Major League Baseball had it in spades with the whole St. Louis Cardinals deal, especially, and also to an extent with the Marlins. It's been over and over we've seen that come up, and then they've managed to get by. We have a World Series champion. Major League Soccer is into their playoffs. The NFL's up to week 12. In college football, we're within a couple of weeks now of the conference championship games. There have been issues in every one of those sports. And college basketball has issues that are somewhat unique to it. But I think that what everybody misses is, it's not that all these guys are showing up at various sites or have had to be shut down. I mean, for the most part, this isn't happening because of basketball. It's happening to basketball because of life. That all the studies have shown that have endeavored into this arena.
That's a good point.
The studies have mostly shown that this transmission is happening somewhere other than the athletic arena. And largely that's the case because most of the people that are in the athletic arena have been tested pretty rigorously and usually don't get into that arena with the virus. They usually get it in between. And so that's the part that no one seems to want to acknowledge otherwise as well, is the idea that it's not basketball that's going to be the problem most of the time. It's basically just life. And I keep going back to my August 5th column that said that if you want basketball players not to get the virus, then the best thing for them is to have them play a season where they're a little bit more isolated, where they have every incentive to not be a regular college kid right now, to be something other than that, to be a college athlete. And people don't like when you take and set them apart most of the time, but this is a circumstance in which the separation of the college athlete from the general student body is a positive.
Mike DeCourcy with us at TSN. Mike, every Tuesday here in the 5 o'clock hour, it is The Take. He's from the Sporting News Big Ten Network, bracketologist, if you will, for Fox Sports. You have your top 25 up at sportingnews.com. You have Richmond number 25. So, I mean, obviously this is a team that Kentucky could play on, what, Sunday, I believe it is? How worried should a young Kentucky team be of Richmond, who obviously you think pretty well of?
They're good. Should they be worried? Well, I mean, everybody that can play when you've had very little experience is a problem. And they're one of, you know, Richmond should be one of the better teams in the country. And when I say a top 25 ranking basically equates to a 6 seed or a 7 seed, that's a good team. You play at 6 or 7 in the NCAA tournament, you better be ready. And so this is a challenge for them, without a doubt. And obviously you can't go into this game expecting help from 23,200 Kentucky fans at Rupp Arena. This is a game in which, in all the games basically this year, you're winning them yourself or you're not winning them. So it's a real challenge for them. I really like the backcourt, Gilliard and Francis. They have two other returning starters from last year's team that was that didn't have the great accomplishment in terms of resume. They didn't have a lot of great victims. They didn't beat Dayton, and there were other you know, B minus to B teams on a scale, you know, on a you know, where an A would be a high quality win. There were a lot of B to B minus teams in the Atlantic 10, like St. Louis, people like that. There was only one A team, and that was Dayton, and Richmond didn't get that. So I don't know whether they were going to make it or not, but they won a lot of games, and they beat a lot of really solid teams. They're coming back ready to try to take a run at, you know, maybe in their minds be this year's Dayton. I don't think they have an Obi Toppin, so I don't think that they'll quite reach that level. But they're going to be a real challenge for the Wildcats, and if the Wildcats perform well in that game, they're going to know that they did something really well.
I meant to think, so Mike DeCourcy's with us. Last week I asked you who the player, you know, in college who goes in the NBA draft would frustrate you, and I can't remember. I think it was Jordan Wara, wasn't it? Wasn't that? It was one of the ones that you mentioned the NBA draft there. It made me think of that. Was there something that angered you from the NBA draft?
I don't get angry, but I was disappointed in the decisions on Cassius Winston, certainly. I don't think that the teams that passed on him were wise at all. I think he wound up going 54th or something like that, somewhere around there. He went to Washington.
You had to like that quickly, first round?
You know, I found that very interesting. Very interesting because, you know, Emmanuel is not he has not been to this point a traditional point guard at the.
Right. Not
he
at
certainly
all.
Wasn't for the Wildcats, but what the Knicks, I believe it was, who picked him said, you know, clearly stated or declared was, hey, you can make a shot, you can play. We will find a way to make you matter if you can make a shot like he can make a shot. One of the interesting things about almost all of the high end point guards in this draft, from LaMelo Ball to Killian Hayes, they are not good 3-point shooters. Their track record has not been good. Halliburton's a bit better, although his shot's a little problematic, but he makes them. But a lot of the guys who are high end point guards in this draft, not shot makers. You look at IQ, man, that dude makes he is a shot maker extraordinaire. So I think the Knicks valued that, and I think they were smart to do so.
Mike DeCourcy with us here on ESPN 680 1057. Let's go to your preseason. Just you know, as a way to talk about the teams, you had Kentucky at number 4. You have Kentucky at number 4. I thought that was a little higher than some of the other ones that I have seen out there. We talked about Kentucky last week in action this week. We mentioned the Richmond game. Why do you have Kentucky so high, right behind Villanova, you know, Baylor and Gonzaga?
Well, I think, first of all, you know, you need Keon Brooks back to be that good. And he might not be with them in the early part of the season. He might miss Richmond. I'm not sure whether John addressed game 2 or not. But I think that it's going to take a little while for them to reach what they're capable of. But they've got a lot of pieces. Bringing in Sarr was essential to you know, once you lost E.J. Montgomery, and let's be honest, I like E.J. and I like what his potential was if he'd stayed another year, but if you said, okay, you can have Olivier Saar, you can have E.J. Montgomery's next year, there's no question in my mind I would take Olivier Saar.
Yep.
He's a rock. He's a mountain. He gives you a foundation. John's best teams mostly have that guy that gives you that foundation in the middle. It's just the way he's traditionally played and is most comfortable playing. He can play a lot of different ways. There's never been a more flexible coach in college basketball, I don't think, than John. I think he's most comfortable when he has someone that he can build out from. And it goes all the way back to Camby. So now having Saar gives him that. And so the basket's a little bit better protected, and you have all these great big long wings who probably will gamble a little to make their defense disruptive, because they're certainly not going to be well practiced. They're so young at almost every position. And when I say well practiced, I mean experience, more so than he's not going to teach them anything in practice. But I mean, they won't ever really have experience. So you teach them maybe to be a little bit disruptive, get in the lanes. And you can only do that and be successful if you have that rock at the back protecting the rim. And so you have that with Saar. The one question I have about Kentucky is point guard. I think Devin Askew is quite clearly a high-end prospect, and you have Davion Mintz there as a really nice compliment to him. But I think Devin still has to prove it. He's not coming in as John Wall, where you knew that. I mean, it's just a question of how spectacular is he going to be, that kind of thing. This is more a situation where he has to show that he can. You know, he can grow into that position. He can handle the responsibility, especially with so many young guys around him and so few experienced players to take over. You know, to take over when things get rough.
Mike DeCourcy with us here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Just quickly on U of L. Again, we mentioned them last week, but to get ready for the season beginning this week, tomorrow, and then back at it, what, Friday? I mean, Louisville is in action now in their MTE. And sorry if you can hear my dog barking in the background. That is Ruby saying hello to Mike DeCourcy. She falls asleep during basketball games. The shortened season, Chris Mack talked about, with the shortened season, guys are going to need to develop for them, and they're going to need to do so pretty fast here. How, you know, Louisville could take some losses early, and maybe you don't have a full season. Well, you obviously don't, and then with COVID and everything else, we know how that is going to potentially affect the season. So developing on the fly, I just don't know what to think of U of L. They take some losses early with the lineup that they could put out there. They could be like 3-2 early on. What do you make of at least early season for U of L, what they need to accomplish so they can be there at the end and you'll make the tournament? What do you think of the Cards?
Well, you know, I think that the most difficult thing for them is that so many players are such a big percentage of what they were counting on isn't available to them right now. And that's the biggest concern. Basically, their front court, if you think about it. I mean, if you had Malik Williams and Charles Minland, as your five and your four, I mean, you're maybe not Duke, but you're right there competing in the ACC. And hopefully they'll have them back by the time they get to the majority of their ACC games. I really like Minland. You know, this is a true story. The first time I saw him for San Francisco, I said, Charles Minland, did he just transfer out from St. John's? It's like one of those time warp moments. Oh, no, that was his dad who played at St. John's. This is his kid who's really good and does a lot of the same things as a player. So now you have him, and then Malik is such a versatile big. If you have those guys, then you have a really solid front court and real sincere hope to excel. What you have to do now in the interim before you get those guys back is you have to build,
survive
some excitement, some confidence. Maybe try to, you know, maybe you're not going to win all the games that you would win, and maybe you will, but maybe you won't. But while they're out, you know, you've got to get David Johnson going. I mean, you've got to make him the player that we know he is as a talent. You got to turn the talent into a player. Carlos Jones has to do that step up into the high major deal and be a terrific player at this level like he was before. And then you build depth with the players that ideally would be supplanted when Minland and Williams and Malik are available. So I think that's what you try to accomplish early, and then you hope that you're in position to win games against the opposition that you're bringing in.
Yeah. No, I it's not a survive, but it's boy, I tell you, Louisville's. I feel like with Kentucky, we kind of know the ebbs and flows, how, you know, COVID may change that, but we have been through this fire drill, if you will, with John Calipari before, maybe not to this extent, but Louisville is, they mystify me on a couple different levels. Well, what about Indiana since we last had our conversations with you? Well, I should say just one conversation with you. Indiana is now a football school, Mike. I don't know if you knew that. So Archie Miller is going to have to win things over. Tom Allen is the new – he's the new guy. He's the new toy at Christmas. So what does Archie have to do to win that back? And what do you make of Indiana now?
Yeah, you know, I wasn't laughing at IU's football program, by the way. I was one of the people who, going into last week's game against Ohio State, I wasn't making any point spread predictions, but I promised that Ohio State would know they had been in a game, and mm-hmm. I think that prediction came true.
It did.
So I'm not. I just thought it was funny that you said that.
Indiana could have won the game.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, if they would have played a cleaner game, they really could have won that game.
They could have won. Yeah, no question. Yeah. They did a terrific job, and so I was not laughing at their football program. I just loved your line about them being a football school.
That's what they are.
Yeah, the Hoosiers, I still think they have a chance to be very, very good. The issue that they have is that they are in a league where they are surrounded by very, very good teams, if not better than that. Three of the teams in my top 10, and four in the top 13, and I am not alone in any of that. That's pretty much universal. Are from the Big Ten: Iowa, Illinois, Michigan State. Those teams are all terrific, and Wisconsin as well. Those teams are going to be very difficult. But if Indiana can step into their class, and how do they do that? Well, Trace Jackson Davis has to become a star. The backcourt of Robert Finnessy and his new freshman partner, that absolutely has to gel, and it has to work. You can't just have them be okay. They have to be phenomenal. They have to be an excellent pairing, and they have to find the right role. Is Finnessy a full-time playmaker, or do they share it? Do they both get an opportunity at the ball? I think those are questions that ordinarily I would have answered by now by going into practice and watching how they mix together, but not going to happen right now. So we have to see when they get on the floor what they're able to do, and hopefully their first game, Tennessee Tech's head coach, the very familiar name, John Pelfrey, apparently won't be able to be with the team, but they're going forward with the game. So I'm excited to see them, to see what Christian Lander's able to do along with Robert Finnessy. And then you have to find a real chemistry in terms of leadership as well. And that'll be very interesting because, you know, as I talk about those two guys, Lander and Finnessy, and how important their roles are, you know, is Al Dorham still a starter? As I said, we'll see in the first game. And if he is, what's his role? Do you turn him mostly into a shooter because those other two guys are going to be bouncing the ball as much? So I think Indiana has as many questions as a lot, just about any team. But also, you know, the answers aren't, you know, it. Answers aren't maybe. The answers are probably. If they do the right things, it should be a very good operation. If they, you know, if everybody embraces their role and fits their role, and if the right roles are assigned, I mean, we can't assume that won't happen, that will happen. So I'm very intrigued by what Indiana might be able to present. I think they have a chance to be at the top of a very good league, but what does that mean? Are you right in that second tier with Rutgers, with Purdue, with Michigan and Ohio State, or are you able to hang with the teams that we talked about as being top 15?
Mike DeCourcy, last one, and we'll get you out of here. Again, you can be brief on this one. No, we've kept you here, 30
sure.
minutes almost. Auburn, they take the 1 year. We have seen that here. We know that that's, they haven't released anything, but we know that's probably a nasty notice of allegations and back and forth there with the NCAA. Now one of their top players, a five-star, is looking to potentially move on there. What interested you the last couple days with the Auburn decision and then, the conversation here over the weekend?
I it's not news to people from Louisville because I wrote the column back in 2016, I guess it was, when Louisville self-imposed its punishment. I find it to be reprehensible. It's the worst part of NCAA justice is when teams take the penalty at their convenience. On Thursday or Wednesday they had their lottery pick go out. Oh, we're out of lottery picks. Let's call, and we're in trouble, so let's take ourselves out of the tournament. I found it to be really disgusting. I have no respect for that at all. And so, to me, the one thing if I could do anything with NCAA justice, I think the number one thing I might do is say, okay, if you want to take yourself out of the tournament because you don't feel like playing it, whatever, but it's not going to affect our penalty at all. I mean, whatever we do to you, we're doing.
100%.
So if you want to be out this year, fine, but you're still getting another year. If we were going to give you two, you're getting three. There's just no way I would ever let teams choose when it's convenient for them to be punished. And the worst part, the other thing I would never allow, ever, is allow teams to be taken out of postseasons after their students enroll in school. That's the worst. Because I come under one set of rules, and you change the rules on me. That's not fair. That's like I take this job, and, it's a 9-to-5 job, and then, I walk in, and you say, oh, no, I know we said yesterday it was 9-to-5, but, you have to work,
third shift.
Midnight to 8.
Yeah.
It's so antithetical to what sports are about. It's the ultimate in bad sportsmanship. And so, frankly, at this point, I really, what little respect I had relative to that, I lost totally with their decision to do that. That was just, it was so wrong. And I feel bad for all the players that are there. They really can't get out now because I guess you could transfer it at the mid-semester, but since everybody's getting this year as a free year anyway, your free year just is stuck somewhere where the school decided to change the rules on you in the middle of the game.
Yeah, I completely agree, and Louisville did it, and I didn't like it then, and, they kind of mask it in, hey, here's some rings for Damian Lee and company, and obviously Auburn, and then Auburn, we don't even know what's in that correspondence, and they've been secret about it, and it's a little bit ridiculous, quite frankly, but we know and we understand that. Mike, have a very, very good Thanksgiving. I don't know who your Steelers play this week. Oh, they play the Ravens, and the Ravens all have COVID. So congratulations. You'll be 12-0.
No. First of all, they can't go 12-0. They're only 10-0 now. Oh, you don't get two wins for beating the Ravens if you do. And second of all, you can never take anything for granted because
I know.
Guys come out of nowhere to win NFL games all the time. So I don't know whether they're playing Thursday night. I expect that they will. But regardless of who's in or who's out, there's always there's still a Lamar Jackson on the field.
I know.
So you got to beat him.
We appreciate your humility there. We do. Michaels, I always appreciate it. We'll talk with you next week. Thank you so much.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody in Louisville. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Mike DeCourcy with us, the Sporting News. You can follow him at TSN Mike, Big Ten Network, the bracketologist there for Fox Sports. So there you go. I agree with him.
Yeah,
I disagreed when Louisville did it. I understand why they do it.
Right.
I doesn't mean you have to like it. I understand why they do it. So there you go. How about that?
And because of it, they lose possibly their best player in Sharif Cooper.
I was hoping you were going to say little Mike DeCourcy on a Tuesday.
Oh, sorry.
That's what I swear apologies. I thought he was going to say, Mitch.
Next week. I'll get back on that next week.
I'm sure you will.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? That? Oh, what are we talking about?
I don't know.
You're
going
to get back on what?
Oh, saying a little Mike DeCourcy on a Tuesday.
Making sure.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Poor Indiana.
He tried to make
Indiana not sound bad.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, he's trying his best to be positive about what he thinks about it. He's like, well, if they get that mid-tier with Michigan and Rutgers, and I was like, oh, Mike.
Big Easy's not going to watch a damn game this year.
He
ain't going to watch any Indiana game. I talked to Christian Lander's assistant coach one time when I was calling them versus Evansville.
If they're good, just like the football team, they'll start having parties in his
house. I'm not even invited to.
Yeah, chili parties. I mean, let's have a chili party to watch.
It's a gaseous party. That's what it is. It's a gaseous party.
Well, Jack Grossman would have been invited if he wasn't doing the post-game show. That's the question.
No, I didn't think so. Let's take a break. We'll wrap up the show. One more segment to go. It's The Take, hanging out here on this Tuesday on ESPN 680. Ah, yes, I cut the new spot today, guys. Erectile dysfunction. It is a serious condition. It affects men of all ages. It can cause anxiety, embarrassment, and it doesn't have to. You can live your best life today with the Hightower Men's Clinic, hightowermens.com, or 690-2800. Schedule your free consultation today, but also go to the website, hightowermens.com, and you can see exactly what they are offering, exactly how they can help you today with their FDA-approved, all-natural, non-invasive, no drugs, no needles, no creams, and they are ready to help you today. Again, 690-2800 or hightowermens.com. Live your best life today and schedule that free appointment at Hightower Men's, hightowermens.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Then my mother-in-law and my wife will make the sides.
Now, do you have to travel to Chicago and pack her stuff and then bring her back for Thanksgiving? Or does she make her own way down?
She'll be here tonight or tomorrow night. She's making her own way.
Wait, that's different, though. Tonight or tomorrow night, that's a big difference.
That's a big difference.
And James Strebel.
You get nervous of drinking a lot of bourbon in front of her?
No, she doesn't care.
She doesn't care?
No. She buys me beer for Father's Day and things like that. She supports my kind of alcoholism.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Texas says he sounds like Outkick the DeCourcy.
Outkick the DeCourcy? Wow.
All right, hanging out here at 5 o'clock hour. It's The Take. Andy Sweeney, James Strebel, Mitchell Hannigan in the Papa John's studios. 437-9680 is the UPS Jobs text line. Speaking of Papa John's, reminder that Papa John's is delivering the large double cheeseburger pizza. It is back, $12. Go ahead and get that, the double cheeseburger papadilla for $6. Mm. It's all at papajohns.com or the Papa John's app. Do you want me to describe it for you?
Yeah, it's always
a sexy voice for you.
My mouth water. It sounds delicious.
Your favorite cheeseburger toppings are back together again and doubly delicious on the double cheeseburger pizza. Papa John's original crust is covered with a zesty burger sauce, double portion of seasoned beef, fresh Roma tomatoes, dill pickles, and signature cheese, all at papajohns.com or the Papa John's app. So 437-9680. Thank you to Mike DeCourcy. All of this will be up on the Podcast Center. So there's a number of things here. We have sound that I want to get to. We also have, and I totally forgot about this, and I would only say this might be because they might be listening.
Yeah.
As I am being shadow produced.
Are you?
The AG texts me.
Oh, yes. Yes, I remember this.
We talked about this earlier.
Earlier, like the 4 o'clock.
And they did not talk about this morning, I believe. Okay?
Okay.
And that is, the AG sent me a photo last night at 8:20 p.m.
Ooh, okay.
Diener had already voted at least 10 times for Nelly on Dancing with the Stars.
Right. I know he's very invested in Nelly.
We had that conversation, and I don't understand that at all. I don't understand any correlation other than maybe Hot in Her or a couple other songs.
Yeah.
Or maybe things at Diener College. You know, I don't know.
Grammar. I think he was out of college because he was in college when Country Grammar came out.
Yeah, I don't know if it's post-college. Yeah. I don't know if it's workout music. I don't know what it is. And so he has this infatuation with Nelly that is there. But in the picture, that also is a little odd. And this 8:30 at night, Dieter's wearing jeans.
At 8:30?
No one wears jeans. What kind of, like a communist, communist wears jeans?
As soon as I get home,
Right into sweats.
Yeah, these jeans are coming off. I'm putting on sweats or basketball shorts, something like that. Pajama pants, jeans at 8:30. What kind of world's he living in? Do you think Blankenbaker's going to come over and go to Double Dog with him at some point? I mean, what's he doing?
Well, now they have to pick up Double Dogs.
That
bit me in the bleep like 4 times. I was thinking of all these restaurants I was going to go to Louisville to sit down.
Sure.
Right? And I just this weekend in every place, I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, I can't go
because
there.
Because I'm over in Indiana. It's like,
yeah, 75%.
I went to the first place last night that was like separating people. And I was shocked by it. They're like, no, you can't be in there. I'm like, but there's 5 tables right there. But then I understood, they're actually acting like the virus is real.
They're enforcing some
rules. I was confused. No, I was like, wow.
Yeah, this is amazing.
You should get looked at funny if I go into fill in the blank place without a mask on.
Yeah, so can I see this picture? Is it too...
What's that, salacious?
It's not salacious. I just want to see Diener. Yeah, it's 8:20 p.m.
Look how many times he's voted for Nelly.
Oh, my God.
And you see he's wearing jeans.
He is wearing jeans.
You see that? He's wearing jeans.
Yes, he's got jeans, and he just Nelly.
Those buckle jeans.
Well, I just don't see Diener as a Dancing with the Stars kind of guy. I don't understand. I mean, people like what they like. Really? See, I don't see that. I figured he'd be – well, I don't know what – honestly, I don't know what he'd watch.
Network television.
I'm a big network television fan.
See, I'm not at all.
Dancing with the Stars, though, is the worst out of the bunch, in my opinion.
I don't watch any network television. None at all. I'm with Andy. I can't stand it.
Well, this was my question. Did Nelly have Botox as well? I mean, I'm sure the answer to that is yes,
but that's not
the connection.
Remember when he got all jacked up? Is he still all jacked up? Because there's a point.
Who? Diener?
Nelly.
Yeah.
No. I know Diener is. No, like Nelly. There's a point when Nelly get like all these muscles.
Did you see where Nelly was like, was it Nelly that said, No, I don't think it was Nelly. Never mind.
Said what?
Well, I was trying to think if it was Nelly, but it wasn't Nelly. It was 50 Cent.
Oh.
It said that Lil Wayne got paid $500,000 for retweeting and backing Trump at the end of the election.
Oh, really?
He got paid at least a $500,000, if not more.
Oh, well, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. But.
Texas says, does Locke still spend his Spectrum paycheck at Hightower Men's Clinic? Yes, he does. Thank you for asking.
Yes, he's a big advocate of that.
Yes, he is.
In their process.
Texas says, if Diener's wearing jeans, what about his button-up?
Huh.
It's a great question. If you're wearing jeans, sure. You can't lounge in jeans.
You can't. Well, that's the thing. You can't relax in jeans.
You can't relax in jeans.
No, you can't. I see these movies all the time.
Well, the problem is fat dudes can't. That's the problem. Diener can't. That's the difference. That would be my argument against us.
Skinny guys normally aren't comfortable in jeans. They're a little restrictive. They're kind of stiff.
Oh, they're not comfortable.
They're not
at all.
Comfortable.
Not
like,
at all.
This is not your ideal home attire.
No, it's not.
Maybe it is for Diener. Maybe he likes the stiffness.
Yes, that's exactly what he likes. How worried are you that Kentucky's losing to Richmond? You're worried, aren't you? Top 25 team, Mitch. This is the exact kind of game where your boy Cal is sweating. He's in an empty arena. What's it going to be on Sunday afternoon?
Sunday at 1 p.m.
No one's going to be paying attention because everyone's watching the NFL.
Yeah.
Only Larry Vaught. And only John Short, and only Drew Franklin, and only Tank the Stank, only these Kentucky BBM blowhards
yeah.
are watching at 1 o'clock. I watch on delay. I'm watching the NFL.
I have a little iPad on.
Sure. I thought about going to Cincinnati. Mitch, do we know if Ohio's allowed to have any fans?
I thought they Because
there's
they
some
do.
Cheap Giant tickets, and I thought about going up there and being obnoxious.
I thought about going, too, but it's
grabbing
just...
my junk in front of a family yeah. from Cincinnati.
Hey.
Hey, how about that? How about that? Yeah. Your mama like that?
Joe Judge got this for you. Danny Dimes says hello.
Drew Jeaner.
What a sad game.
Well, yes, thought, of course, it's a Ryan Finley versus Daniel Jones.
I thought Mitch was going. I thought you said you were going to go.
An ACC quarterback battle.
You can't trust anything Mitch says about
Well, he did last week. I thought he said he was going to go.
I mean, please, you're not going.
Okay.
It's fine. You're not going.
If I had the money, I would go. But I don't.
Oh, you'd have a... Yeah. Probably that was a bad weekend.
Well, not only that. I mean, the holidays are... It's a lot of travel.
Well, yeah, it's also because your gambling's been terrible.
That too, yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say that's part of this, Mitch. Don't act like it's Santa. Don't act like it's the holidays. Yes, it is the holidays, and it's because you're in sports radio, but it's also because you're a tragically bad bettor. That is also a huge component.
Yes.
Why don't you trail this Hatfield guy?
Yeah.
Our guy Chris Hatfield. He's winning
sometimes.
A bunch.
Major heater.
No, he's winning money. You're not. Why don't you say, damn, I'm just gonna pack it up. Play a game or two that I happen to like. If I like Vikings -3.5, I'll take it. If I like Bengals +3.5, I'll take it. And then I'll just follow him, and then I'll just bet. I mean, your ego is getting in your way of making money at this point right now.
Sure. I guess.
So are you and T-Cam going to be able to record the podcast?
Recording tonight.
Okay, so you're recording tonight.
Yes.
Okay,
I got a busy night. I got to get Crean set up for tomorrow. I got to record my podcast.
Oh, yeah,
I got
Crean's
pack.
In the next 2 days. I mean, yeah. God, it means it'll be Mike Wooten.
Yeah.
Either way. He's going to be, it's going to be a lot of Indiana Crean. Talk. What should we have him do? Honestly, what should we have Crean do for us? How do we take advantage of Crean's quirkiness.
I don't know. I think part of the quirkiness is just letting him naturally do Crean things, just on the fly. I think that's part of it. Like when he starts.
Are you guys going to be from home or in studio?
I'm not going in studio to be face to face with Crean. His okay. COVID face. What are you thinking?
I'm going to say if you guys are in studio, you could Strebel can bring the weights, and Strebel and Crean can have a lifting competition.
No, the weights are going to be here
at the Sweeney
household
tomorrow.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You don't want to do that.
I know. I do want to do it. I just keep forgetting about it. I don't mind doing it. I like doing it. I just forgot.
Texas says Cincy fans are the trashiest fans in the league. No, settle down.
Oh, come on.
Settle
down. Not seen.
It might be bottom five, but settle down.
Yeah, Raiders versus Bronco fans stabbing each other. I mean, we've all Chiefs versus Raiders fans.
I mean, Eagles fans.
Yeah, Eagles fans. There you
go. I mean,
boom.
Giants
Eagles.
Fans ain't much better.
No, I mean, there's a lot of fans. No one's a Cincinnati fan. What is, that's another thing. You actually have to have a lot of fans that be considered, like, trashy fans.
Me and Mitch go to the game, just getting, there's some massive brawl. It's yeah. just, you just look and there's us being hauled off. It'd be great for the show, too,
it would. Mitch.
Mitch
and Andy getting
pulled
away.
Local shock jock. And local shock jock. They go through all of my bad tweets. By the way, I won't even say who it is. Shadow produced with the Nick Roush tweet.
I saw that.
I sent it to you guys from last year. Kentucky will be in the 2020 SEC championship game.
Boy, was that wrong. And there's no accountability.
The replies are great.
Yeah, boy, is that wrong.
If
yeah.
Joey Gatewood is anything like he is, we got a shot.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what we'll have him do. We'll have Crean read the Nick Roush thread where he predicts that Kentucky football would be in this year's SEC championship game. That's exactly what we'll do. Mitch, do you want to take a break here? What do you want to do? I'll be completely honest. I'm pulling a Bobby V. I got to leave here, like, as soon as possible. I got to go pay, you know, $1,200 for my car.
It hurts.
I haven't put
the
money
works.
Into it. Oh, yeah, it ain't good right now.
It's the no. works. Yeah,
your
the
boy
works
has
done.
Been kicked in the groin right now. I'm just sitting here groinless. I'm a groinless man just sitting here asking Mitch if we can play a V-show promo or something.
Yeah,
I
can. We can end the show. I can add a couple promos. We can wrap it up.
Texas says, have him crush a live pizza on the air.
He's already done that.
Nope, that's what we'll do.
Okay, it's pizza time.
I will have a large pizza delivered. And I mean, I hate taking advantage. I feel like I feel bad. It's good hijinks.
It is good hijinks.
But we have to be giving sports radio takes with him eating in the background.
Yeah, eating pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Like,
with
I want to interview Lee Sterling with Crean crushing a pizza.
Just eating that Bear Nose or that Papa John's or whatever
there
delicious
you go.
Pizza.
Yeah,
we'll figure it out.
That
sounds good.
We will absolutely figure it out. All right, back at it tomorrow. Lee Sterling, Pat Forty. We'll have a Wednesday edition of the show. We'll be off on Thursday, but back at it. We'll be leading
everyone
you
have
up
a good
the...
Thanksgiving. See y'all. I just wanted to say bye.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Mitch, and to the whole Hannigan clan.
I'll come back with stories.
Is your sister calling in on Friday? Didn't you mention that?
No.
No.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well,
see y'all.
See y'all.
Katie George here for Coil Automotive in Clarksville. Coil's Black Friday sales event is going on now. Save thousands on over 400 new Chevrolets, Buicks, and GMCs in stock and in one convenient location. Plus, on Friday, November 27th, you will have the chance to buy a 2015 Chevy Impala for $5. Yes, $5. Head over to coildeals.com for all the details and find your next car, truck, or SUV today. Coil, where the flag is flying and Kentuckian is buying.
Come on!
You must register for a chance to purchase Impala.
Pay off your holiday bills with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and earn $14.50 per hour to start, plus a $200 sign-on bonus and up to $1,200 in additional bonuses over the holiday season. Be a part of an industry-leading